Praise the Lord, everybody. Welcome back to our Bible study. Hope everybody's having an awesome evening, awesome day today, and an awesome start of your week. Yeah, we'd like to welcome each one into our broadcast, our Tuesday night Bible study. Welcome, welcome, welcome again to joining together to come hear God's Word, learn of God's Word, and study God's Word. Amen. And truly, it's a blessing to have you join us today. We encourage you to share out the page, share out the website, share out the YouTube channel as well. Those watching on YouTube, hit the thumbs up and all that good stuff. Again, the men and women, now share it out to your friends. Copy the link and send it out. Just send it out to the church group there on WhatsApp. But come on, come on, come on and join us tonight. And let the Lord bless you. Again, here we're going to cover Proverbs 7. We've been kind of bits and pieces of the book of Proverbs. Again, I share with you. This, as you see this broadcast today, was taped here on the 7th of the month. And so we tend to cover a chapter according to the date. And so this evening we'll do that as well, again, until we go back into another topic. But so let me cover it this evening. Again, so what we want to do is build up our catalog of books covered, and really chapters covered, really. And so we want to eventually get to a place where every chapter in Proverbs is covered in detail. Last time we did 31, which was actually last week, so you think about it. And so as we move along, as the Lord leads, we'll capture the date and cover the books, the chapters, I should say, of Proverbs. So tonight, this is the seventh, so we'll be covering the seventh chapter of Proverbs. And it's a blessing. It's a blessing. If you're not familiar with Proverbs, it's called the Book of Wisdom. The Book of Wisdom, and written by Solomon, and there are a few other authors, some other chapters, but again, it's written by Solomon primarily, the son of David, King David. And as many of you know, he prayed a prayer when he took over the kingdom. He was still overwhelmed by the thought of it, overwhelmed by trying to fill the shoes of his father. And so what did he do? He prayed for wisdom. And when he prayed for wisdom, God gave it to him. And God began to have him make decisions and various things that were, again, astounding many times. Again, and there were sometimes he made bad decisions along the way, as we all do. But you think about it, the key is to stay in tune with God, and really learning from his mistakes, learning from mistakes in the Bible, learning from our mistakes, whatever the case may be. We learn as we go, and using wisdom along the way to, again, and listen to the voice of God, and will help us be wise in our choices, be wise in things that we do. And so tonight, here in Proverbs 7, we'll look at, pretty much stick to it. I'll branch off here in a second, because I was thinking about some other verses as well. So, sister, we'd like you to be ready here to bounce with me, all right? And so let's go open up here in chapter 7, verse 1. The Bible says, My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. I shared with you before, even years ago, I think when I was about to go to college or whatever the case may be, maybe still in high school, my parents had told me, "Hey, you need to read the book of Proverbs. Read the book of Proverbs." And so, really, it's a good book for young men, young teenage boys, young men to read it. And not only for young men, but ladies as well, because you can really take that and flip it around. My daughter, you can take it around and flip it around and say, "My daughter," and the same thing, "My son, my daughter, keep my words." It's a universal, it's a, both genders, both. We need to keep God's word. Keep God's word. And then all he says, lay up my commandments with thee. And so, you keep it, and you're keeping his commandments, laying them up in your heart, in your mind, your soul. Let's go to verse 2. He says, keep my commandments and live. You see, when we keep God's word, that's real living. That's real life, to have Christ Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, to know him and to serve him, and to be, again, our children of God. The Bible says, my apple of the law as the apple of thine eye, the apple of thine eye. And so as you look at that, you think about it, again, it's a precious thing. It's a precious thing to do. Meaning it's highly valued, a high valued deal. And where you begin to say, this is so important. It's so important in my life. It's so important in my soul. So important in everything that we do. Is the broadcast coming across? Okay, all right. And so it's so important to be able to keep these, as the apple, keep the word of God as precious as possible, as precious, and hold it near and dear to your heart, near and dear to your heart. If you can switch over to verse 3, the Bible says, bind them upon thy fingers. He says, and write them upon the tables of my heart, upon the tables of thine heart. I was reminded about even, King David said the same, similar thing about the word of God, about things of God, how he says, let it be bound in my heart. I want to give you something here from the word of God that we look at tonight. Pull up Psalms 119, verse 10. You get a chance here as they working on some things here, but do me a favor. I didn't give it to you, but Psalms 119, verse 10. Psalms 119, verse 10 is really a cross reference to what he was saying here. And it's a memory verse really that we should all practice. This is what it says in Psalms 119, 10. It says, with my whole heart, he says, have I sought thee. Let me not wander from my commandments. And then the next verse, verse 11, he says, thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I may not sin against God. Let's read that verse again. Thine word have I hid in my heart, a special place, bind it to your heart, that I may not sin against God. So y'all see it there on the screen. Hide your word in my heart, Lord. Hide it. Let it be precious to me. And it will keep you. It will, you cherish it. You take on these memory verses, as we said, the memory verses, let it become a part of you, a part of your life. It's just like eating, how food becomes a part of us. We are what we eat. And so the same thing in scripture, spiritually speaking, let's take these words. Let's take these scriptures and hide them in our hearts. Let them become a part of us. Let's get back to it. I want to go back to Proverbs 7. Let's go back to verse 3 again, 7:3. So the Bible says here, bind them about thy fingers. He says, and write them upon the tables of thine heart. So let it be lodged in the heart, lodged in there, in your mind, soul. Let it become a part of your lifestyle, the word of God. Let's go to verse 4. The Bible, Proverbs 7:4, the Bible says, unto wisdom, say unto wisdom, thou art my sister. He says, and call understanding thy kinswoman. And so you think about this, in other words, near and dear, the word of God, your relationship with God, let it be so precious as if you had a sister. Your sister, naturally, our sisters know now you should love your sister. You should love your kinfolk. And that's really what he was saying. Again, if you say, I don't love my kinfolk, well, again, pray through it. And really forgive and various things, whatever you got to do to love your family. And so church, he says, we should be loving our kin folks. Love. See, the devil wants to break up the families. We shared with you this weekend. The devil wants the family to be divided. And so he says, let me love you as I love my kin. They say, well, blood is thicker than water. And so naturally we should have our relationship with God even closer than family, even greater than family. The word and the relationship with Jesus Christ. Let's go to verse 5. He says that they may keep thee from strange women and from the stranger that flattereth with her words. And again, back to what I say, we're going to flip that gender around as well for the men as well. It can go both ways. He was saying, keep your heart in the word from temptation. We covered the Lord's Prayer. We call it the model prayer, the Lord's Prayer. This Sunday, and we said, well, part of the verse was, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And so naturally, the prayer was to not be led into temptation. We think about it. If you can pull up James as well, I'm going to give you this. James chapter 4. 1 through, pull up James chapter 4. We'll cover some of this. Yeah, verse 3. Ready? 4, 1 through 3. I'm giving these scriptures on the fly, but
I meant to give it to you earlier, but the Bible says, from whence come wars? And so you think about the flesh, the temptations, the things that come your way. And so we've covered in Proverbs how he says, keep the word, keep your mind on Christ. It will keep you from obeying the dictates of the flesh. This is what it says, from whence come wars and fighting among you? Come they not hence even to your own lust that war in your members? He's talking about your body, your flesh, your being. And so he says there's fightings, there's even arguments, disagreements, war. He says, and why? Because of the works of the flesh, we cover many times. But the Bible says, in verse 2, he says, you lust and have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot attain. He says, you fight in war, yet you have not because you ask not. And so men and women are doing it in their own will. We're doing it in our own flesh. We're doing it in our own strength instead of simply asking God for the things that men and women fight over. We fight over things. We lose our soul over things. We sell our soul out for so-called joy and entertainment in this world. But really, our true joy comes from God. Let's look at verse 3. He says, you ask and receive not because you ask amiss, and you may consume it upon your lust. And so you think about it, lust in itself. And how the lust, when the Bible says when it's conceived, it brings forth death. Another place it says it brings forth death. That's in James, James chapter 1. Come bring it up as well. 1:5. James 1:5. This is what it says here. James chapter 1, verse 5. And it was referred to how that again the lust. And so he says, we must keep our hearts and our souls and our minds upon the Lord. It will keep us from the dictates of the flesh. That's why I say, walk in the spirit, and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Let's go to verse 5. The Bible says, if any man lack wisdom, there it is again, if any man lack wisdom. So again, it's referring back to even the book of Proverbs. That's why it was told to me years ago, and we share it with you and share it with whoever, say, you know what, read the book of Proverbs. The Bible says, if you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Let him ask of God. As Solomon did, he asked of God. And the Bible says, that giveth all men liberally. He's willing to touch our minds and our hearts. If we're willing to open up and really say, God, speak to me, show me, teach me, let me learn of you, I'm telling you, we'd be surprised what God can do in our lives, all of us. And so the Bible says, he giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given to him. And so if you think about this, you think about how that go to 15 as well. Go to 15, verse 15. And 14, sorry, 14 as well. I'm kind of shooting this on the fly, some of these verses I'm giving her, because it's just dropping in my heart right now. 13 through 15, excuse me. Excuse me. I'm gonna have it back up a little bit. He said, let no man say when he is tempted. And so you ask of God for wisdom, you ask for God for direction, you ask God's strength. He says, let no man say when they're tempted, I am tempted of God. He said, for God cannot be tempted with evil. He said, neither tempted any man, verse 14. He said, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and entice, verse 14. And so 1:14, it says, how that if our minds are not on God, if we're not thinking about God, the things of God, we will be drawn away and enticed by lust. Number 15, he said, and when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth what? Sin. And when sin is finished, it bringeth forth death. It bringeth forth death. And even the next verse is even more powerful. The next verse is even more powerful. Verse 16. The Bible says, do not err, my beloved brethren. Do not err. Do not fall into this error. And so we must keep our minds and our hearts stayed upon the Lord. Do not err. Do not fall into this error that the devil will have us do, that our flesh desires to do. We must keep our minds again in our hearts, because there's a war. There's a war between the flesh and the spirit. That's why we encourage you to get filled with the Holy Ghost. Get filled with the Holy Ghost. Jesus said, but the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. The flesh don't want to do anything spiritual. It does not. It does not want to do anything that is that is spiritual. It wants to stay as unspiritual as possible. And so we see, he says, we must not fall into the things of the flesh. That's why we say we must get baptized in with the Holy Spirit, walk in the Spirit, pray, stay prayed up at all times. All right, let's go back. Let's go back. I brought all of that So let's go back to Proverbs. Proverbs is what we'll be focusing on tonight. Proverbs 7. I'm going to try to get back on course here and stay the course here, the outline of the verses. But the Bible says, let's pick up in verse 4 again. He says, "Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister." And so love this word. Love it. Don't reject it, but love it. Love it as a sister. Love it as a brother to you ladies, or vice versa. He says, and call understanding thy kinswoman. A relationship with the word, a relationship with God. He said it should be just as you have a relationship with your family members. We should have a relationship with God up in heaven, even closer. The Bible says in verse 5, that you may keep thee from a strange woman. That's how we got on this. And from the stranger that flattereth with her words. And so the devil would do whatever he can to entice, using the opposite sex, using whether it's a man or a woman, again, flip it around. Well, nowadays, anything goes. But in general, it should be the opposite sex when they try to entice you. The flesh, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, those things are, again, things that he says not to love. But the Bible says, and so this scriptures, this Proverbs 7 was trying to keep our minds on the Lord. When you're tempted, you resist. Resist the devil, he'll flee. Resist those thoughts. Get those thoughts out of your mind. I'm not trying to get you in bed. I really want to get you in church. Amen. And so we look at this thing as a believer. The Bible says in number 6, he says, "At the window of my house, I looked through my casement." Number 7, and beheld among the simple ones. I discern among the youth, young man void of understanding. So as he looked at his window, you see, when we don't understand what the devil's really trying to do, the devil's out to steal, kill, and destroy. He will blind us to where we can't see what the enemy is really doing in our world. I remember being just, all of us, we all fall in the same group where when we were young, we didn't see until our eyes were open. And men, not only young, but middle age, old age, the devil will have you upside down, blinded, and never really understand the plan of God for your life. Never really understand what the enemy of your soul, what sin does, how sin destroys, sin wrecks lives. He will cause you to live in a vicious cycle, never getting ahead, never happy. Always seem to come up short. That's what sin does. And then he says, "I see people void of understanding." And enemy will try to keep our young people away from God. Thank God, again, but I got saved at 21 years old. And for me, I look back and say, man, I wish I'd have got saved way earlier than that. To keep me out of a lot of mess. But you know what? Again, we thank God for everything that we went through. It really shows the power of the blood. If I guess looking back, if I didn't go through those things, perhaps again people wouldn't see and know that there is a reality in God. There is a reality in God. And so we look at this, how God is able to deliver. But the enemy will try to keep us void of understanding, void of knowing who God is, knowing, void of understanding how to, again, the devil plays for keeps. The devil is out to destroy our youth. We pray for our young men that they will come to the understanding and realize that Jesus is the answer tonight and need to be saved. Let's move on. The Bible says, "Passing through the streets near her corner, and he went the way to her house." And now he's back to referring to, went off there, but he's referring back to the flesh. Keep our young people in the flesh. Keep people in the flesh, young and old. It don't matter. All you old folks go to their graves still in the flesh, running around, creeping around. Secret lovers. That old song called Secret Lovers. You think about it, how do they, again, the devil will keep men and women creeping and crawling through mud all their lives. And the Bible says, "In the twilight of the evening, in the black and dark night, and behold," number 10, "there met him a woman with an attire of a harlot and subtle in heart." Smooth, smooth things of the enemy, like that serpent. And this goes both ways. And it really don't even have to be, again, whether it's the lust of the flesh or sexual things either. It could be, again, any and every sin. It could be subtle. It can really creep into the heart, creep into the church, creep into the minds, the hearts and souls of every believer if we are not on guard. And really, this was just an illustration of what he was trying to tell them, to stay on guard, watching out for certain things. But the devil has assignment. He has demons assigned to our lives. He has demons assigned to where if he can find that window, that little bit of time and listening to that little voice, or that listen to that voice to say, hey, come over here. You won't die. It's just a little fruit. You can bite on. God's just trying to keep you back from having fun. As he told Adam and Eve, your eyes will be open. The subtleness of it all. And before long, me and wife were looking at a video yesterday. They were talking about the Grammys and various things, and how even the church again has crept in and become worldly subtly over and over, as the enemy continues to creep in subtly and begin to embrace the things of the world, begin to embrace things that again that would not again glorify Almighty God. Because what happened was, I'll share with you this video about, I guess they had some devil satanic worship song and demonic type stuff all throughout the whole Grammys, as every year is every year. That they begin to denounce God, and they begin to put the devil all out there, all over the thing. Amen. And so, and really, believe it or not, as a believer, you should see that right away. You should have saw that right away and say, you know what, that's devilish. That's not of God. And so suddenly, as the enemy will try to get the church cold and keep people from calling sin out, they even had a scene where, again, I guess a bunch of rappers, various ones, had a Last Supper scene. They was up there rapping at the table, and it was mimicking the Lord's Supper. If you look at the pictures of it, and you think about it, how all these different things are subtly beginning to be sacrilegious, and various things that cause, again, to mock God. And folks who name the name of Christ would condone subtly, it's not that bad. It's just for the beat. The devil used to tell me, it's just for the beat. Just listen to it for the beat. You're not really, you know, it's just music. Hey, that thing will subtly work on you. And so he says here, her as a harlot, it will dress itself nice, and it will subtly woo away the church as well. It'll eat away at the believers if you're not careful. We must guard our eyes. What the Bible said, guard your heart. He says, well, to put on the armor of God, because it will eat at you, and before long, you'll be back out there in the world. Amen. And mixing in and falling into temptation, because we fail to make a standard in our hearts and our souls. God, help you make a standard. The word of God is the standard. Let us apply it, hide it in our hearts, write it in our hearts. As we shared with you earlier about that I may not sin against God. Number 11, it says, she is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. He's referring to this harlot, but you know the same thing it is with the devil. Again, it's in your face, and it will constantly bombard your heart if you're not strong. The Bible says, now she is without now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. He's referring to a harlot here, but you know what? It don't have to even be a harlot. It could be anything, as we share with you. Apply this to any and everything in your life. We should guard our hearts this way. And because all the way to the grave, the enemy is going to try, he's going to try, he's going to try, he's going to try until he gets you and I back. He's so mad at you're saved. He's so mad at you giving your life to Christ. He is so upset that you and I, that I'm on this video tonight teaching and preaching the word of God. He's so upset. He'll try to figure out what can I do to get him back, to get her back, get you back. What can I do to pull them away and destroy their lives? And so he lies wait at every corner. You must keep your heart and your mind stayed upon him, guarded at all times. Then number 13, he says, so she called him, kissed him, and with an imprudent face, he says, said unto him, I have peace offered with me. This day have I paid my vow. So naturally, it was a wooing. Nice and soft and wooing, unassuming, soothing. The Bible says in verse 15, therefore came I forth to meet thee, diligently to seek thy face, and I found thee. Number 16, he said, I decked my bed with covering and tapestry, and carved the works with fine linen in Egypt. I painted a pretty picture, an enticing picture, naturally. But you see, that's how the enemy would do. He would paint a pretty picture for each of us. to try to destroy you and I. We must guard our hearts, brothers and sisters. We are in the last days. We are in the last days, and the enemy will do whatever. The Bible says a strong delusion in the last days, to even the very elect fall away, the preachers and teachers and so on, the preacher's wife, the preacher, the choir members. He'll do whatever he can to destroy the believers as well. But he's already got the world. But he says here today he will entice and constantly work and work and work and work. You see how he worked on Jesus? He tempted him with food, then he tempted him with all the things of the earth. He said, I'll give you the entire earth. I'll give you all the riches in the world. You just bow down and worship me. Naturally, Jesus stuck to the word. He said, it's written. Just like it's written here in Proverbs, guard your heart. Use wisdom and say, that's nothing but the devil. I am not going to let him appease to my flesh, appeal to my flesh, as I say. I'm not going to fall into that enticement to lure me away, whether it's here, he was referring to here sexually, or whether it's through and desires of this world to lure you and I away from our relationship with God. Let's move on. The Bible says in verse 17, I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, the aloe and cinnamon. Oh, it smells so good. It looks so good. The lust of the eyes, the pride of life, and the lust of the flesh. All these different things. And so it was alluring. Alluring. I'm reminded how Daniel, he said he refused to eat from the king's table. Him and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Can you imagine the smell of the food? They were sitting here eating lentil. Lentil. Versus the barbecue smell. You know how barbecue, it'll pass by you. You can smell it a mile away. Somebody's cooking out today. The food and the aroma. Before me and my wife got married, we was in the military. And she lived down the hall in the barracks, what we call the barracks. These basically glorified apartments, dorms, almost like college dorms almost. And naturally we had what we call the mess hall, the mess hall. The mess hall is where we all go down to eat, and actually, you know, and it sounds, say, preach, don't even sound good, the mess hall, that they plop it on your plate, whatever. Thank God for the serviceman's home, amen, where they use the home away from home. And but anyway, you say, what's the service home? I'm going to get off track here if I don't stop. Service home is a part of our church organization where we have military, around military base, we have churches around for the young men and women to be able to go and get away from the barracks, get away from the hustle and bustle. They can come out, they can go over to the home and get a home cooked meal. And get out of that life to where it's a Christian environment. What we call a home away from home. And so we thank God for that. But again, prior to me going to the service home, we used to go down to the mess hall. Go down there and get a big slop of this, give me a slop of that, slop of that. We had a couple of good cooks. One guy was from the Caribbean, he knew how to cook, so we had some decent food every now and then. But with that being said, when the mess hall closed, or when I ain't feel like going to the mess hall, the aroma came from the hallway. The aroma came down the hallway, and really the whole floor smelled the aroma. My wife was down the hall cooking, whether it was breakfast, dinner, whatever case may be. The allurement of the food, amen, is what they say is a way, if you can get to the belly, it's a way into his heart, something like that. As it goes, Sister Woodlock, something to that effect. She's right here. But anyway, but the allurement of it all. Think about it. So in verse 17, the allurement, the smell. So I'm going a little bit more, but stay with me tonight. Think about the five gates to your heart. Five gates to your heart. Sight, smell, taste, touch. What else? Hearing. And so you think about this. The five senses. Sight, smell, taste. Feel. And you think about this, how that each one of these things are there to allure you. Smells of food, smells of perfume. Somebody has a good cologne on, it really grabs your attention. On and on and on. And so you think about it, these things, these fresh aromas are there to allure. So we must guard our five gates, our gates. The gates of the touch, the gates of feelings, the gates of sight, sound, taste. We got to guard our hearts. Guard your gates. Use wisdom. I'm saying, I'm not going to fall for the tricks of the devil. He's like the coyote in Roadrunner. He come up with all these different devices. She said, we cannot be ignorant of the devil's devices. We cannot be ignorant of the devil's devices. Prepare to go to this one. I've shared it before. There, it's in the epistles here of Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 2:11. 2 Corinthians 2:11. He said, we cannot be ignorant of the enemy's devices. That's what it says here. Actually, bring up verse 10 as well, so it can make sense here. Verse 10 and 11. 2, 10, and 11. So 2 Corinthians 2, 10 and 11. Bible says here, he says, to whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgive anything, I forgive, for your sakes forgive I in the person of Christ. Number 11, it says this, lest Satan should get advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Now, the prior verse was talking about forgiveness. We've been covering that a lot too. Forgiveness, forgiving one another. So many people hold on to things. They hold on to things for years and years and years. I thank God. I don't know. God has given me the ability to let things go. I mean, I could drop things in minutes. That's just how I am. By the grace of God. Amen. The why I don't harbor things in my heart. I got to keep it moving. That old saying, man, but keep it moving. Let's keep it moving in God as well. You know what? I ain't going to let the ruffle my feathers. You know what I'm saying? You got to keep it moving. And so he said, least Satan get the advantage. We shared it with you earlier this week about a root of bitterness spring up in your hearts. A root. If you don't get that thing right away, if you don't get that weed right away in your garden, it will make a whole field and contaminate everything. And so naturally says, least Satan should get the advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Don't be ignorant of the devil's devices. Let's go back to Proverbs. And so some of the devices is that he uses is enticement. Enticement. James 7. Back to James 7, he says, I have perfume, 17. He said, I have perfume my bed with myrrh and alloys and cinnamon. Number 18, he says, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with love. And so naturally, she had it all planned out. The devil got it all planned out for you until it's over. And after that, then what? I was talking with a man one time. He committed adultery on his wife. And, again, how he was just so devastated after it was all said and done. So devastated after it was all said and done. And naturally, you think about it. After he says, when sin is, when lust is fulfilled, it bringeth forth death. Remember that? When lust is fulfilled, it bringeth forth death. There's a separation. And Adam went and hid himself. Naturally, that man, to this day, he's hiding himself. He's yet to come back to God because of the guilt and the shame. If you're watching this video tonight, come back to God. Get right with God. It's not too late. God loves you. He cares for you. He's a forgiving God. Whatever you've done, the enemy will have us go run and hide. Tonight, let God deliver. Let God forgive. Let God wash you clean, make you whole, and start all over again. Amen. But don't go back to it. We should not go back to it. But the Bible says, and so it's so enticing. The Bible says in verse 19, Proverbs 7:19, the Bible says, for the good man is not at home. He has gone a long journey. She continued to let him know, hey, nobody's home. It's just me and you. Nobody's watching. The devil would do that as well. Nobody's looking. Nobody would ever know. But you know, God knows. We can get away with things on our own. Get away with things even in our own minds. But God knows. God knows the mind. Brothers and sisters, that's why Jesus said, well, even an adult, you can commit a sin in your mind. And so naturally, we got to get that stuff out of your mind. Keep your mind on. That's why he said, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are lovely, think on these things. God help us to constantly keep our minds on God. If we don't, the mind will drift, the mind will float, the mind will go all over the place. We must stay prayed up in the Holy Ghost, because your mind would go all over the world, all of us. And I remember years ago, I shared with you many times, it was a Bible study. The man said, hey, what do you do about when things come into your mind? I said, well, the things will come into your mind, but you cannot let it stay there. It's like the illustration about, he says, birds will always fly over your head. You go outside right now, birds are going to fly over your head. Just don't let them land and build a nest. Don't let them land and start making a nest. Once they start making a nest, they're going to make a nest, make a home, and make a mess. From nest to mess. And all the droppings that come along with that. Anyway, I won't gross you folks out, but think about it. Think about it. Let's move on. She said, he's not home. Nobody will ever find out. Rebuke the devil. Jesus was by himself. He was by himself there in the wilderness when Satan tempted him. And the only way somebody would know is because he told him. He told Luke what had happened. Write this down, Luke. Guess what happened to me? Nobody would have never known. But God, he would have known. Jesus would have known. Father knew. The Bible says, and Satan knows as well. He will do that. He will haunt you. He will do what? He will try to convict you. He will ride you. Look what you did. You messed up. You can never go back. He's allowed the devil. Go back. Run back to Jesus. Be like the prodigal son. Get up and run back to God. Anyway, this Bible study turned into a longer Bible study than what I thought, but praise the Lord. I hope you're getting something out of this tonight. The Bible says in verse 20, he said, he hath taken a bag of money with him and will come home at the day appointed. He said he's not coming back for a while. It's all good. It's all good. It's all good. No, it's not all good. Not all good with God. The Bible says in 21, he says, with her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. She forced him. And so naturally, when you get yourself bound up in a predicament, the enemy will force himself on you. The Bible says that he goeth out there straightway as an ox goeth to slaughter, as the fool to correction of the stocks, he was slaughtered. As we shared with you before. And the devil had it right there where he wanted it. You know, our pastor used to say, our pastor's birthday was yesterday, late Pastor Davis. He said it takes years to build a testimony, years to build a testimony. But he says it takes one moment to ruin it. One moment can ruin it. They'll drag you through the mud. They'll have you on the news. They'll do whatever the case may be. One moment is all it takes is to ruin a testimony. The Bible says in 23, till a dart strike through his liver. And the Bible says, as the bird hasteth to the snare and knoweth not that it is for his life, it destroyed. It destroyed it. The Bible says, hearken unto me now, therefore, ye children, attend unto the words of my mouth. He said, take heed to this Bible study. Take heed to this word. Take heed to chapter 7. Guard your heart, not only from the lust of the flesh and the things of the sexual desires, but he says, do it also in every aspect of your life. Take heed to what we say tonight. It'll be a blessing to the soul. It'll keep you from falling. The Bible says, let thine heart decline to her ways. No, I decline. I pass. Matter of fact, why don't you come to service with me on Thursday night? Huh? Come to church. We got a church at 334 Asher Street. Come on out. You'll blow them away. I share many times. Them guys trying to get your phone number. Hey, here's my number. It's on this card right here. By accident, it's my number. Have them call me. Amen. The Bible says, he says, I decline her heart. Go not astray in her path. Don't get off the, stay that straight and narrow way. He says, broad is the way to lead to destruction. We live in an adulterous world, an adulterous society, full of sin. Everybody's doing whatever. But there's a few men and women that say, you know, I'm going to walk in this straight and narrow way because I want to go to heaven. I want to keep my mind and soul. It's a lot of heartache and pain that goes along with sin. And not only just for your own self, but when you're saying that, there's a lot of things that happen around you. You don't even know. It destroys families, it destroys marriages, it destroys children, divorces, on and on and on, because men and women are enticed. The sin of drinking, I'm drinking, whatever the case may be. The sin of drinking, drunkenness. Think about it. Lives are ruined. Your life is ruined. Again, it destroys your finances. It destroys, again, your marriage. It can destroy a lot of things that come along with it. You can name any sin, they can do a lot of damage. He said, don't stray from my path. Let me finish up. The Bible says, for she has, 26, she has cast her down many wounded. She has cast down many wounded. Yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Young men out there tonight, we share what you think. Guard your hearts. Keep yourself till you get married. Ladies, the same thing. Guard your heart from those enticing boys and men. Men that will try to, only thing they care about is, is that one thing. And they'll delay it. They'll play the nice guy for weeks, months, years, whatever the case may be, until you give in, until you surrender. Amen. But tonight, brothers and sisters in the Lord, guard your heart. Don't listen to the constant drip. Bible talk referred to like a constant drip. Until, if you don't address that drip, if you don't address it and stop it, it will wear on you and mess you up. Bible talking about here in verse 27 as we close. Her house is the way of Tale. The things we've listed, the enticement, the allurement of the enemy, his number one goal is to see you and I perish with him. To see you and I end up in a lake of fire along with him and his cohorts, the devil, his angels. The third of the angels that went with him. He allured a third of all of the angels. He took one third of them. 33% of the angels went with Lucifer. He wants to take you and I, God's creation, man, the living soul, the one that Jesus wants to spend eternity with. The Bible says her way is a house of hell, or house to hell, going down to the chambers of death. And so naturally, that is the second death, the lake of fire. My friend, they guard your heart. Make up in your mind, I'm going to make it to heaven. I'm going to guard my heart from the things and the enticement of this world. So my sight, my smell, my hands, my feelings, my actions, my thoughts. Let me guard my heart. Guard your gates. Guard your soul. We're in the last days, brothers and sisters, today, that the devil's working overtime. Roaming about, seeking whom he may devour. Figuring out, where can I, how can I get them? How can I break them? How can I destroy them and their relationship with Jesus Christ? Don't let the enemy win. Guard your hearts. Guard your souls. Amen. A proverb a day keeps the devil at bay. This is Proverbs chapter 7. A proverb a day. You read this and let it help you to guard your heart every day. In the name of Jesus, we pray. God bless you. I pray we'll see you Thursday night in person. In person at 7:30, 334 Ashford Street. Come on out. Bring the young folks. Bring your friends, your families, your loved ones, whoever you are. Come out, come out, come out. Hear the word of God. We endeavor to preach, teach, and live the word of God every day. Amen. And give you straightforward. I could have really went deep in this, but we're going to save it for another time. But again, we're not ashamed. We're not ashamed to call sin what it is. Brothers and sisters, today. Again, if you're not in this area, look for a Bible-believing teaching church that condemns sin and encourages a closer walk with Jesus. Not a closer walk with the world, but a closer walk with Jesus. God bless you. I pray we look forward to seeing you this Thursday night, 7:30. God bless you.